I call this meeting of the Property Tax Division to order pursuant to Rule 10.01. The first order of business is that we need to take a roll to determine who is present. The clerk, Mr. Peterson, will now take the roll.
Chair Joachim?
Present.
Vice Chair Gomez? Representative Hertas? Representative Anderson?
Anderson present.
Representative Becker Finn excused. Representative Fisher?
Fisher present.
Representative Green excused. Representative Hassan? Representative Herr?
Present.
Representative Marquardt?
Present.
Representative Mortensen?
Present.
Representative Pulaski?
Pulaski present.
Representative Torkelson excused. Vice Chair Gomez?
Present.
Representative Hertas? Representative Hassan? That concludes roll, and there's a quorum, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Peterson. Next up, we have the approval of the minutes. Vice Chair Gomez, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
I have, Madam Chair. I'd like to move adoption of the minutes.
Thank you. Representative Gomez moves the adoption of the minutes from March 10th. Members, are there any questions on the minutes? Seeing none, this will be a voice vote, so please unmute yourself. And everyone in favor of the minutes, approving the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say no. The motion is approved and the minutes are adopted. Members, today we will be finishing our tour around the state as we hear the rest of our local option sales tax bills. We have a full agenda, so brevity from the testifiers will be greatly appreciated. Representative Hertas is now joining the meeting as well. And with that, our first bill on the agenda is House File 1614 from Representative Keeler. Representative Marquardt, would you like to move the bill before the committee?
I would. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to move House File 1614 to be laid over for possible inclusion into the property tax report.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt moves House File 1614 to be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. And with that, Representative Keeler, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I also have an amendment. Do we want to do that first?
Yes, we will do that first. Representative Marquardt, would you like to move the amendment labeled A1?
Madam Chair, I will move the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Keeler, will you just briefly describe your A1 amendment?
Absolutely, Madam Chair. The A1 amendment is just an increase in the funds that we had originally allocated after meeting with local construction consultant and financial advisors just for cost of inflation.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. Representative Marquardt moves the A1 amendments. Members, this will also be a voice vote. Those in favor of the A1 amendment to put the bill in the shape the author would like, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. The amendment, A1 amendment, has been adopted. Representative Keeler, to your bill then.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I'm really humbled to be here to talk about House File 1614. We are looking to ask to bring a half-cent local option sales tax question to our voters in the 2022 general election. We've done a lot of work in our community to figure out what is the best option for this. And one thing that we know in Moorhead is, and in the region, is that we really care about investing in our next generations. And so what we hope to do with it is bring it to the voters in the hopes that we can develop a regional public library and community center. I'm not going to talk much more about it. I'm super excited about it. But I have our newly elected mayor here with us, along with somebody from our library. So I will pass it over to them.
Thank you so much, Representative Keeler.
Oh, just a moment. Please, thank you, Representative Keeler. Thank you, Mayor Carson. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed.
Are you the Mayor of Crookston or the Mayor of Moorhead?
Mayor Carson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. My name is Shelley Carlson, and thank you, Chair Joachim and members of the committee for your time to hear the City of Moorhead's testimony on House File 1614. My name is Shelley Carlson. I am the newly elected mayor of Morehead. I've been in office for 1 month. Our former mayor was recently appointed to a judgeship, and so my council members unanimously appointed me to fulfill the position. I was a city council member for 2 years, and during that time served as our city's liaison with the Lake Agassiz Regional Library Board and also our Morehead City Library. I'm very passionate about a library as a community resource, and I am thrilled to serve as our community champion for a new library and community center. As a city council and as our community as a whole, we are just absolutely excited, like Representative Keeler stated, about this project. It will be a regional asset that everybody will enjoy, not just the citizens of Morehead. It's a greatly needed resource in our community because we have a growing metro area. Our current library was built in 1960 with an addition built in 1980. And I'm not going to get into the challenges of our current library space or our current building condition. I will allow Executive Director Liz Lynch to provide you with more background information. Morehead residents and our business community are clearly supportive of revitalizing the downtown of Morehead. In the last, we just actually completed a downtown master plan, which was an 18-month process where we had unprecedented city citizen participation. And with more public process in the queue, it's going to really help inform us on the specific uses for the community center portion of the project. Our Morehead Public Library is undergoing its own needs assessment that Ms. Lynch, we will cover in further depth and in detail. Within our support letters and background materials, you will also notice a resolution from the City of Dilworth. Dilworth shares a border with Morehead and does not have its own public library and has graciously lent their support to this project, recognizing the fact that their citizens will also greatly benefit from this new library and community center. And I wanted to thank Representative Marcourt. He could probably give you more information on how it would be such a great asset, given that he is our representative and resides in the city of Dilworth. We ask the legislature's authorization to bring this local option sales tax question to the voters of Morehead. And I promise you that we will work very hard to get the votes in support of the Morehead Regional Public Library and Community Center. So thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Representative Keeler. And now I would like to turn, Madam Chair, and I would now ask that Liz Lynch, who is Executive Director of the Lake Agassiz Regional Library System, provide more information about our requests. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Ms. Lynch, will you please state your name for the record and proceed?
Sure. Chair Joachim and committee members, thank you for this opportunity. My name is Liz Lynch, and I'm the Executive Director of the Lake Agassiz Regional Library System, which is headquartered in the lower level of the Morehead Library and provides public library service in 22 communities in a 7-county service area. The Morehead Library plays a key role in the services offered around our region, serving the largest population. Regional expectations are placed on the Morehead Library to house the largest collection of library materials, to share with the rest of the libraries in our region, and to provide services and support to both library staff and customers within the region. We recently conducted a community needs assessment, and the Morehead Library received over 800 survey responses. Based on the survey results, one thing we know for sure is that this community values their public library. Some community members appreciate the 1960s charm of the current library, but are unaware of the unrepairable HVAC system, crumbling basement and exterior walls, the condition of the restrooms, or the antiquated electrical system. Megan Krieger, the director of the Morehead Public Library, is an amazing director. Unfortunately, most of her time is spent dealing with facility issues rather than with library issues. The Lake Agassiz Regional Library and the Morehead Public Library are celebrating our 60th anniversary together this year. After all these years, we're still in the business of providing people with the necessary resources, tools, and space to help them reach their full potential. Community members in Morehead deserve both a quiet space for conducting personal work and large enough space where they can attend a community forum or a library program that isn't standing room only or involve elbows bumping into one another. Please support this request so that the Moorhead Library and the Lake Agassiz Regional Library can continue to support the needs of this community and the region for another 60 years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lynch. Representative Keeler, did you want to add anything else before we go to members?
No, Madam Chair, other than, like I stated before, this is something our community really wants, and the investment in our next generations is something that many of us are extremely passionate about. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Marquardt.
So, well, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Keeler, for bringing this forward. Mayor Carlson, you're off to a great start very quickly. Great to see you here and others. Members, this is truly a regional project. And, you know, I live in Dilworth, and I've been over to that library many times in Moorhead. So, you know, one of the things we look for, is it regional? This is definitely regional. And Moorhead, of course, is a border city. And if you haven't been through Moorhead and Dilworth and that, you should see in the area the new business development and the new housing going up. So things are moving forward, and this would be another great step to do that. So thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Keeler, for bringing this forward.
With that, members, are there any questions for Representative Keeler or any of her testifiers? Seeing none, Representative Keeler, final word.
Nothing else to add other than I appreciate everybody's time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. With that, members, Representative Marquardt renews his motion that House File 1614, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. And with that, we are on to our next bill. Representative Sundin with House File 1485. Can I get a motion to get 1485 before the committee?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Marquardt moves House File 1485 before the division. And I believe we also have an author's amendment to this one labeled A21-0047. Representative Sundin, Representative Marquardt, would you also move the amendment?
I'll move the A21 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. Representative Marquardt moves the A21 amendment to the amendment, Representative Sundin.
The amendment merely changes some of the amounts in the bill. I was fortunate enough to put my nose in on a meeting with the consultants and the county board and concerned citizens a few weeks ago, and the consensus was there. The decision was made to increase the bonding number, and it makes a whole lot of sense, and that'll be explained by a county commissioner or the sheriff. In the long term, it makes a whole lot of sense to build a little bit bigger and a little bit better for long-term financial respect to the taxpayers in Carlton County. So with that, if you add the amendment, we can talk about the bill.
Thank you, Representative Sundin. Members, any questions on the amendment? Seeing none, this again will be a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed, no. With that, the A21 amendment is adopted. Representative Sundin, to your bill.
Okay, thank you, Chair Joachim. 1485 is a result of actually many years of work with law enforcement and government entities in Carlton County, particularly the Carlton County Board. They've recognized the need for an expanded jail facility. And I guess the icing on top of this project, once it's completed, it will have a component for women offenders. And that can be described by Sheriff Lake as well. So I turn this over to the testifiers. We have Sheriff Kelly Lake and Commissioner Marv Bodie.
Thank you, Representative Sundin. Sheriff Lake, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Kelly Lake, Carlton County Sheriff. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, and
I'll go ahead.
Sorry.
That's okay. I'm Mark Bodie, Carlton County Commissioner. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee for your time today, and Representative Sundin. House File 1485 is a bill to request your permission to ask our voters their preference on imposing a 0.5% local option sales tax to fund a new jail. We have a large retired elderly population, and using property taxes alone would be a large burden to that lower income population. We also have a lot of exempt properties within our county that don't pay a full share of property taxes, and that includes some 2C forested lands, which gives the owners a 35% value reduction on the lands that they enroll in that program. Carlton County has the third largest tax impact in the state for disabled American veteran exclusions. There's $50 million that is taken off the tax rolls by that each year as far as value. We also have a large percentage of tax base made up by utilities and railroads. And with the current tax court petitions and changes in valuations by the Minnesota Department of Revenue, a lot of the tax burden is shifting from those entities and back to residential homeowners and other businesses in the county. Nearly one third of our total acreage is exempt due to county forest, state forest, state park, and Fond du Lac Band trust properties. We'd like to give the citizens a voice and a choice as to how to pay for a new jail facility. We ask for your support with this bill, and with that, I will turn it over to Sheriff Lake.
Thank you, Commissioner Bodie. Sheriff Lake.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I appreciate your time here today. As I stated, my name is Kelly Lake. I'm the Sheriff of Carlton County and have been for about the last 16 years, and also a lifelong resident of Carlton County. One of my duties as sheriff is to oversee the jail facility. In Carlton County now, we have a jail that was built in 1979, additionally as a 24-bed facility, and in a quick turnaround, 1981, they added on 24 beds. At that time, they did not include any additional space for core functions such as laundry, medical, kitchen, or any programming that would happen in the facility. While the jail has been very well maintained, it has far exceeded its life expectancy. And on January 28th of 2020, Carlton County received a sunset letter from the Minnesota Department of Corrections, which in essence told us that as of July 31st, 2023, we can no longer use our jail facility to house any incarcerated persons. Part of the basis for this sunset was the age of our facility and also the style of our facility. It's what's called the linear design, and that's an outdated design for jail standards at this point. Also, our lack of programming space and also limited classification separation capabilities. So we have difficulties in separating the classifications of our inmates. Simple example would be male, female, which we do obviously have to separate that. But we have a lot of other classification that we have to look at as far as mental health, chemical dependency, and other various severity of crime and whatnot that we have to look at for classifications. And we're very limited in the facility that we are in currently. So we have been for over 5 years now doing some comprehensive planning surrounding what are the best needs of a facility moving forward for Carlton County and what would best meet those needs. And in part of that planning process, what has been apparent and discovered is the increase in our female offender population in our jail. It has doubled, more than doubled almost in the last 10 years, and as we've been doing this studying. And we've also noticed that it is not unique to Carlton County, that this is has been seen as a trend in the state, region-wide and statewide. So as we've been doing that, we've been really trying to look at, female offenders. And, we look at the programming for female offenders, which is unique And there is not, the programming is not similar or not exact to what is the programming for males. So as part of our regional component, as we're looking for this at this facility, we noticed the need in the region, and we were actually approached by St. Louis County officials and the chief judge in the 6th Judicial District that they also have a need and certainly see a need for a facility of this type, which would be a female offender program. So we've received support from the chief judge, St. Louis County officials, Arrowhead Regional Corrections, which is a community corrections consortium that Carleton County is part of. And they have a what's called the Northeast Regional Corrections facility not far from here, which we are a part of, but it is an all-male facility. There is no female offender program like that in the region, and to my knowledge, even statewide. So that is one thing that we are really looking at, and in fact did receive bonding dollars in the 2020 bonding session in the amount of $2 million for helping us to plan for pre-design and design of a female offender program. And so moving forward with that, we would like to continue with that programming. In our process of our jail studies, we have come to about an 84 bed base facility for a new jail moving forward. And this will change. The design and the size of the jail could change. And a big part of that decision is how the funding is going to come forward and how this jail is going to be paid for. So what we're looking at initially was a 16 bed female offender program, either incorporated with that 84 beds or as an additional 16 beds. Again, how this is paid for is going to hinge on that decision that the commissioners will need to make. But this bill, bringing this forward to the taxpayers with the local option sales tax and giving the voters, you know, that decision on how they think that this facility should be paid for is very important to us. One of the things about a female offender program.
Thank you, Sheriff Lake. Could you wrap it up a little bit? We have to kind of keep concise.
Absolutely. I'll just end it there. I think between myself and Commissioner Bode, we have, if there's any questions, thank you so much for your time and opportunity to present here, Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you so much, Sheriff Lake. Members, are there any questions for Representative Sundin or either of the testifiers? Representative Anderson.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Just a quick question to the sheriff. You're the second county that's come before this committee requesting some funding assistance with a jail. And each of the counties has received that letter, kind of a condemnation letter from the Department of Corrections. Do you agree with that assessment, or do you think your jail could still serve your county were it not for that letter from the Department of Corrections, or how do you view all that? Do you agree with the letter, Sheriff?
Sure.
Sheriff Lake.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I do agree with that assessment. Our jail is over 40 years old. The National Institute of Corrections gives the average life expectancy for a jail facility 30 years. We have far exceeded that. And I know with our some of our HVAC and some of the other electrical, as well as the linear design of our facility and the lack of programming space, we can't even have adequate programs to help reintegrate people back into our communities. So absolutely, with the structure itself and the design, it is time for a new jail in our county. And it is much needed, and I think it will well serve far into the future a new facility. I think it would be very costly to try to upgrade to get this facility where we would need to be without building a new facility.
Thank you, Sheriff Leick. Representative Anderson, follow-up? Members, any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Sandine, final comments.
Thank you, Chair Joachim and committee. As the testifiers outlined, this jail is much needed. It's well planned out. I think I made the case on that. And the state is compelling action from the county. So, and then I'm glad Commissioner Bodie presented the information. You know, given the tax-based challenges the county faces, this is the best method of taxation available to achieve what we need to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sundin. With that, members, Representative Marquardt renews his motion that House File 1485, as amended, be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. The bill is laid over, and now we're going to move on to House File 1709 from Representative Wolgamott. Can I get a motion to move House File 1709 before the division?
So moved, Madam Chair. This is Representative Herr.
Thank you, Representative Herr. Representative Herr moves House File 1709 before the division. We have the bill before us now. Representative Wolgamott, to your bill.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members. I'm here today to present House File 1709, which is a bill allowing the City of St. Cloud to impose a local sales and use tax of 0.5% if approved at a general election. By the voters, this will fund 4 specified road projects and expansion improvement to the municipal athletic complex. And Madam Chair, here to testify for the bill, I have 2 fine folks from the City of St. Cloud, our very own Mayor Dave Kleiss and Mr. Tony Goddard, to provide further testimony. And then at that point, we'll be more than happy to answer any of your or members' questions.
Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. Mayor Kleiss, do you want to state your name for the record and proceed? And welcome to the Property Tax Committee. Mayor Kleiss, I think you're on mute.
Yeah, that's right. The pandemic aspect of always. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Dave Kleiss, Mayor of the City of St. Cloud. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Appreciate Representative Wolgamott bringing forward the bill, and also the co-authors locally, Representative Tamatice, I know, is on the call or on the Zoom also. But the project, as Representative Wolgamott mentioned, is the half-cent sales tax that we would bring to the voters. If you approve that authorization, allow the voters to decide as stipulated in the statute, each project, there are 4 road projects. The road projects, and this is significant, similar to some of the other discussion that was said. City of St. Cloud is about 68,000 people. Our daytime population exceeds 170,000 people. These are projects clearly as a regional center in Minnesota. The road projects in particular are projects. There are 4 road projects that we have are not only reducing congestion in particular going forward. Our area planning organization for this area has identified these areas as both east-west, north-south conditions, and looking even into the future. Some of them are already, we rate those projects as far as congestion on A to E, and they're at that level in some areas already, but in going into the future, they'll clearly be at that as we continue to have growth. These are in various parts of the city on that east and west, so the 4 projects. The first project A is Lincoln Avenue, and this is in conjunction with the state of Minnesota that will be updating and renovating Highway 10. With that that change, this is a corridor that's right near there. There's an anticipation of a lot more traffic on there, so that it has been coordinated with that project. The other project we have, Heatherwood Road, which is economic development. By doing this road project, this actually takes traffic off of I-94, which is becoming more and more congested. And I know that as the legislature, you've passed those opportunity zones that have actually added lanes. This will help actually reduce some of that congestion on I-94. Other project is 16th Street, Traverse Road. That actually is a major corridor to St. Cloud State University. With the traffic that's going through there, this actually creates a better access this point to the university, and again, in additional traffic. Project D is a connection between Highway 10 and Highway 15, east-west connection going into our downtown area and an economic corridor. And then, of course, the Municipal Athletic Complex, which is a project that is clearly regional. Both St. Cloud State University, St. Cloud Technical Community College uses those facilities as their athletics. In fact, for the entire area for the baseball for St. Cloud State, they don't have a facility. So this is the facility they use. We use a number of high schools, use both the ice and the baseball, also amateur use, and also we have a baseball and a hockey team. So it's clearly a regional. It's an old facility built in the 70s. So those are the projects we have. It's Hefson Sales Tax as a regional center. So we're asking for the authorization to allow our voters to make that determination. Tony Goddard is our facilities director, is here too if there are questions, but we want to keep it brief. I know you've got a lot of on your agenda, Madam Chair, so we appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and thank you.
Thank you for that. If Mr. Goddard's willing to be on deck in case there's questions, I think Representative Wolgema, did you have something brief to say before we move to member questions?
No, I just wanted to want to thank you for the opportunity to present the bill and urge your support, and we're more than glad to take questions.
Got it. Members, any questions? Seeing none, I'll ask one. Traditionally lost has been for building structures and not for road projects, and it looks like your expansion and improvements to the athletic complex. Can you tell me a little bit more about those?
I'll maybe turn that over to Tony Goddard if you want to talk a little bit about that project, our facilities director. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Goddard.
Yes, thank you very much, Madam Chair. I'm Tony Goddard, the director of civic facilities for the city of St. Cloud, and the MAC, the Municipal Athletic Complex project, is one that the city has been pursuing for a number of years. The facility, as the mayor said, was first constructed in the early 1970s, and it provides a considerable net public benefit for the region. Six different high school teams, three college teams. Two of those are Minnesota State facilities, St. Cloud Technical Community College and St. Cloud State University. So the facility is far more than a municipal athletic complex. We are providing service to a broad community. And in terms of what the project will do, it envisions updates of the mechanicals on the arena to comply with both with environmental rules and with accessibility issues. We will not be adding another sheet of ice, but we'll add modern training facilities and locker room space. The baseball stadiums, one is in quite advanced disrepair and needs to be demolished and replaced, the other one repaired. The other part of the complex is a golf course, but this project does not envision any spending any money on the golf course.
Thank you, Mr. Goddard. And I just had one other quick question. I heard you mention that one of the projects is Highway 10 and in conjunction with the state. Which project was that? Which one was that?
That is the Project A, the Lincoln Avenue project.
The St. Germain Street, Lincoln Avenue. Got it. Thank you. And members, any other questions? Seeing none, Representative Wolgema, you have the last word.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair, and thank you, members. First, I want to thank our Mayor Dave Kleiss and Mr. Tony Goddard for their service to St. Cloud and for their work on this bill and this project. I also, on behalf of the people of St. Cloud, want to urge your support, and on behalf of all of your constituents, Madam Chair and members who travel to and through St. Cloud, we urge your support for House File 1709. Thank you very much.
Thank Thank you, Representative Wolgamott. With that, Representative Herr renews her motion that House File 1709 be laid over for possible. With that, Representative Herr renews her motion that House File 1709 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. So the bill's laid over. And next up, we have House File 1751 from Representative Poston. Members, do I have a motion to move
the bill? Madam Chair, I will move House File 1751 for possible inclusion into a division report.
Thank you, Representative Hurtaz. Representative Hurtaz moves House File 1751 before the division. With that, we have the bill before us. Welcome back, Representative Poston, to your bill.
Good afternoon, Chair Joaquim and members. Today, we're looking for local option sales tax authorization for the City of Staples. House File 1751 would allow the voters to make the decision on whether they would like a half a percent sales tax to raise $1,600,000 to do much needed renovation on the Staples Community Center. And with me today, I have the mayor of Staples, Chris Etzler, and I have the city administrator of Staples, Gerald Nelson. And I'd like to let them describe the project, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Poston. With that, Mr. Nelson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Thank you. My name is Gerald Nelson. I'm the city administrator in Staples. I'd like to thank the chair and the members for taking time to hear about our proposed project up here in Staples. So the Staples Community Center was constructed in 1974. It was a joint project with the local school district. The building houses a competition length swimming pool, gymnasium, fitness center, senior center, community meeting room, and also serves as the local site for the Lutheran Social Service Meals on Wheels program. And pre-COVID, we actually did congregate dining there as part of that program. Different programming that we do provide at the community center, obviously aquatics programs, aquasize, water dance, lap swim, lots of area kids have learned to swim by taking swimming lessons. We offer open swim, basketball, volleyball, pickleball, dance, and many other things. Currently, our facility revenue is derived from membership, stay fees, program fees, rentals, and a big chunk of it coming from the City of Staples tax levy. The facility, as I mentioned, was built in 1974, and it has a lot of needs. A lot of HVAC and electrical equipment is original in the building. ADA was not yet invented in 1974, so lots of stairs and ramps that we need to address. Locker room facilities are not designed appropriately and so forth. During the past year, it's been an interesting time for the community center. Obviously, it's been shut down probably for about half of 2020 with COVID. We did take the opportunity during that time to make a lot of improvements to the building that would be hard when members and other users of the facility are in the building. We replaced the roof, updated some restrooms, did a lot of painting, floor replacement, and so forth. Revenue, of course, during the past year pretty much dried up with nobody being able to utilize the building. And so far here in 2021, the COVID guidance that we have to follow, it's been somewhat limited as well. So basically what we're asking for is a half a percent sales tax for 25 years. We got about $1.6 million of improvements that we would look to make with the revenue generated from that tax. Not a huge retail type community. We're looking at about $109,000 on average that we would generate from that half a percent sales tax. Community center is an important amenity for our community, and want to give the voters an opportunity to make improvements to it. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions that anybody has.
Thank you, Mr. Nelson. Mayor Etzler, please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Chris Etzler, again, Mayor of Staples. I don't really have a whole lot just here. One thing I do want to point out that this is something that we've talked a lot about in our community, and that is the fact that, you know, the city, you know, basically, you know, owns and operates that facility, but yet over the years, we've been doing some surveying, and roughly 66% of the members are not city residents, as well as 84% of the aquatic programs are not city residents. So, you know, this is by doing the sales tax, we feel this is an opportunity to reach outside of our city as well, as, you know, rather than just impacting the residents of the city of Staples. So that's pretty much my comments. I know we wanted to keep it short, so.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor Etzler. And both of you, welcome to the Property Tax Committee. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Poston or either of his testifiers? Seeing none, Representative Poston, final comments.
Yes, thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Gerald, for your testimony. Thank you, Chair Joaquim, and members for listening to our bill today. We appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Poston. And with that, Representative Hertaus renews this motion that House File 1751 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. The bill's laid over, and we're on to our next bill, House File 1490 from Representative Lewick. Can I get a motion to move House File 1490 before the division?
Chair, I'll move House File 1490 for possible inclusion into a division report.
Thank you, Representative Hertaus. Representative Hertaus moves House File 1490 before the division for possible inclusion in a division report. Now that we have the bill before us, Representative Lewick, welcome to the committee and to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me get rid of a little bit of noise in the background there. Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for hearing House File 1490, which requests authority for Cross Lake to pursue a local option sales tax to support upgrading and expansion of the city's municipal wastewater treatment system. I'm going to just speak very briefly on the regional significance of this project. Cross Lake is situated in the middle of an exceptionally water-rich area in the upper Mississippi watershed. And while obviously any water quality issues of local concern, any problem in this area have a major, major impact downstream all the way to the Iowa border. To give you a perspective, 37 square miles, that's the footprint of the city. A third of that is water, period. We've got 41 lakes in that area, 61 public waters. Only 3% of that surface land is currently served by a municipal waste treatment system. All the rest of the residents and businesses are dealing with independent systems. And long-term, that is just not in the best interest of the environment, neither locally nor on a regional basis. And secondly, Cross Lake is growing consistently, and so looking downstream, the city fathers here are trying to make sure we maintain good water quality. And with that, I'd like to introduce City Administrator Mike Linus and his team. They can speak in detail to the project.
Thank you, Representative Lewick. Mr. Linus, please state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Mike Linus. I'm City Administrator for Cross Lake, Minnesota. So thank you, Madam Chair and committee members for your time this afternoon. Water is vital to our community. Cross Lake has about 2,300 residents. Our population swells to in excess of 30,000 residents and visitors, most of them not from Cross Lake. So the local residents are tasked with paying for all of the infrastructure that many of them don't even use. In fact, water quality in Cross Lake is so vital that our economy could not survive without it. It's on the Cross Lake Whitefish chain of lakes, and the city has taken a multi-pronged approach in protecting that most valuable resource. We've already have ongoing projects right now to deal with stormwater issues to keep contaminants out of the lake. We just finished one and we're working on two more. By the time those are done, we'll have spent in excess of $1.5 million between local funds, county funds, state funds, and grant funds from special groups. The reason we're looking at sales tax to support these projects is the areas we're looking at is what we consider sensitive to protecting that resource. It's right along the edge of the lake. There's multiple businesses, residences, and with the increase of short-term rentals, we only see that growing. We're not even sure of the impact of the short-term rental issue yet. So the first project we're looking at is what we call the Moonlight Service Area. It's to extend sanitary sewer to those areas that we wish to protect that resource from. In doing that, we know we're going to create more biosolids. Right now, we haul our biosolids generated from the plant to another facility outside our community for further processing. We're looking at new technology to try to do that on site to reduce our costs. We're also looking at a third area, what we call the Daggett service area, is to take failing septic systems in a very highly dense area off local treatment and put it onto a sewer system treated by the city. Just to give you a really interesting statistic, more than half of the water in St. Paul comes out of the Mississippi River. If you look at Minneapolis, for example, 700 gallons a second of river water is used for drinking water purposes per second. Is treated for the Minneapolis water system. The first two cities on the system are St. Cloud and Minneapolis, St. Paul. 100% of the water in the Pine River Watershed District drains into the Mississippi River, all of it. So anything that we do in Cross Lake that can protect that only protects those downstream from us. The regional significance of this is huge. As I stated before, it not only protects our local economy, it protects our state economy, and everyone below us. When we look at local sales tax, because we have such a high influx of non-residents every summer, we're a vacation destination. 80% of our retail sales are from not Cross Lake residents. So we're trying to minimize the local impact and have those that are causing the use of that system to help us pay for it. And it's not 100% sales tax. We're looking at local funding of local sales tax or local property taxes, special assessments, grants if available, and to make up the difference with the local option sales tax. So that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to protect that regional resource that all of us use that benefits everybody downstream from us. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Mr. Linus, members, questions? Representative Hertaz.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Lewick, and members from Cross Lake. You've described in a general way the project that you're proposing and the importance of water quality and its effect downstream. What you haven't addressed is really the dollar amount of the project. And exactly how many properties would this actually serve? Can you give us a little more explanation about the size and scope of the project and how many properties it would serve?
Mr. Linus.
Sure, thank you. Thank you for that question. When we look at the Moonlight Service Area, we're looking in excess of 50 properties and the tens of thousands of people that use those properties during the summer months. That project alone is estimated to be $1.6 million. We're looking at a little over $1 million of it to be funded with local option sales tax. The remaining $500,000 would be special assessments and the city's local tax levy. When we look at the biosolids treatment facility, my council feels strongly that every property within the city is protected by that. And we have nearly 4,000 parcels. In fact, they felt so strongly about that right now our sewer treatment plant is we assess a levy across all taxpayers, whether they're connected to our system or not. And we have full support for the folks that are not able to connect to our plant pay for. When we look at the Daggett service area, we have in excess of 100 individual properties. But again, we have tens of thousands of users that use that water resource that those properties are connected to. There are 14 major lakes connected to the Pine River Watershed System. That project is about $2.4 million. $1.7 is estimated to be generated through sales tax. Now, we haven't even been able to estimate the impact of some new things that have become taxable with the vacation rentals. What happens in Cross Lake is because of it's such a desirable area to vacation in, we get very, very high use of vacation rentals where people are willing to pay that sales tax, just like you would in any other community for any other public improvement. And again, if we don't have protect the water resources, we don't have a local economy. It's just that simple for us.
Sorry, Representative Hurt has follow up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you for that explanation. I have spent a greater part of my life laying pipe and developing land and making infrastructure for projects. And so this is a question that you're not going to like, but nonetheless, you know, some of these improvements inure to the direct benefit of those specific property owners. And so my question is, of this project, are you planning on assessing any of these properties for some of that cost? What is your plans in terms of a shared project here rather than having tourists pay for your infrastructure?
Mr. Linus.
We don't believe tourists only are paying for that infrastructure. We're looking at right now, we're looking at roughly about 30 to 40% of the cost being assessed back to the property owners of that property. The other portion of those costs, you hear a lot about in the water and sewer infrastructure world of connection charges. Connection charges are not considered part of the project. They're considered a result of a project because the connection charge of the system is the tap charge or the use fee to connect to the processing of that waste. So somewhere north of 30%, less than 50% is directly assessed to the property owner on each one of these. Without sales tax, the remainder gets assessed again against the property owner and all the rest of the citizens of Cross Lake. So it's kind of a double hit if you think of it that way. They not only get an assessment, but they get a general obligation levy assessed against them too to pay for the debt on those projects.
Representative Hurtas.
Thank you again, Madam Chair, and thanks for the explanation. It's good to hear that you're planning on sharing some of that expense. Normally in trunk area sewer, trunk area water, whatever, complete, even if you're including storm, I don't know the depth of your project, but trunk area charges are usually assessed by the acre to the benefiting properties, and even for the undeveloped property that would encourage development of that land. And so the trunk charges, I clearly understand, is something that you're going to be looking at in your feasibility study if you move forward. And the lateral or connection charges, yes, those are additional charges on top of that. But nonetheless, the sum of all of that does inure to the benefit and the value of those properties and no longer having private well, private septic, if that is ultimately the goal. But I won't belabor the point, but thank you for further clarification.
Thank you for the questions, Representative Hurtas. And I had a quick question too. What is your, I think I see the numbers here for your net tax capacity and your city net tax capacity rates. Your what is your general levy?
Are you looking for the amount of the levy or the percent?
Yes.
The amount of our levy for pay 2021 was about $4.5 million. Now, one thing that's a little interesting about Cross Lake is because of the high value of the land, we have a relatively low tax rate. The city receives zero local government aid, so we're very sensitive to changes in levy and tax rate. I mean, it's a direct charge to the property owner.
Yes. So basically, you have some space on your tax rate that could move. And then could you tell me a little bit about your biosolid treatment facility that you're planning on improving? Does that serve anyone outside the city of Cross Lake?
It depends how you look at it. All of the wastewater that is treated at Cross Lake comes from Cross Lake. We right now, what we're looking at is possibly providing a facility as part of that process to accept septic pumping from other communities. In our area, most people do not have a municipal sewer. And so groundwater and groundwater contamination is a high priority. So there's a lot of septic pumpers. We're looking at possibly taking the product that septic pumpers create. Right now, all of our biosolids are pumped out of oxidation ditches and transported in tanker trucks to Pine River. In Pine River, those get dumped into what's called reed beds. Right now, the reeds that are used to digest those items are considered invasive species. And because of our volume, we're not certain how much longer we'll have the ability to transport those. So what we're looking at is technology to basically dry out the biosolids, retreat the liquids that come out of those solids, air dry on land the biosolids, and then use them as ground cover elsewhere.
Thank you, Mr. Lyoness. With that, members, I want to move us on here since I don't see any questions. Representative Lewick, final comments.
Thank you, members, and Madam Chair, for this opportunity. And one of the things I want to talk about just really quickly is you need to understand the terrain that they're dealing with. And I think Representative Hertas may get this really quickly. Those hundreds of independent septic systems sitting out there are on little parcels, literally like of the scope that you see along Lake Minnetonka. So at some point in time, it's literally not going to be feasible for those folks to continue doing what they're doing. And we're going to need to incorporate a lot of those areas. These residential areas that have built up right along the lake, with each one of them having a potential point source issue if they have a problem, represents a major long-term threat to not only the local environment, but that entire watershed. This has been a well worth. This is the second year. This is a project that's been working for actually a couple of years. And ultimately, this is going to be a decision of the local voters. That's where it rests. They'll make a final decision on this, provided they're given that opportunity. So I would certainly encourage members to allow the local population to make a final decision on this kind of a project. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lewick. And with that, Representative Hertas moves House File, renews his motion that House File 1490 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. So the bill's laid over, and we'll move on to House File 1300 from Representative Tees. I am so sorry. Can I get a motion to move House File 1300 before the division?
So moved again, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. Representative Hertas moves House File 1300 be laid over for possible inclusion. We now have the bill before us. Representative Tees, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Hertas. I really appreciate it. You're going to hear the same type of story you just heard about Cross Lake, and that has to do with having all these extra folks in your district, in your area, that are taking advantage of your facilities and resources and yet aren't lending money to it. And I'm not going to, I heard something right away about brevity. So I am going to turn it over to my testifiers and let them have the words.
Thank you, Representative. Let's see here. We've got Mayor Miller. Please introduce yourself to the committee and proceed.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rick Miller, and I am the mayor of Waite Park. The city of Waite Park is seeking legislative approval to place a referendum on the ballot in the 2022 general election seeking 0.5% of additional sales tax to be collected in Waite Park. The request does not have a state budget impact, nor is it tied to a bonding request. Waite Park is located in central Minnesota and is part of the St. Cloud Metro Cities. Our cities are all connected, and many do not know when they are in one city or the next. For Waite Park, this is more evident with the Crossroads Mall. Shields and a food court are in Waite Park, but when you walk into JCPenney's or any other portion of that mall, you are now in St. Cloud. The impacts of being a small community of 7,777 in a regional center places additional burdens on our city and becomes the responsibilities of our city. Long-range regional planning efforts have identified over $37 million in capital projects in Waite Park. That price tag, even over 25 years, is more than the residents of our community can afford through property taxes. The city of Waite Park receives no LGA like the neighboring communities in the St. Cloud area, therefore limiting our ability to find adequate funding to address these needs. Our city's tagline is where Minnesota connects, as we connect the region to many things in our community, including retail shops, recreation, and transportation. These are all great amenities for the community with a residential population of a little over 7,000, but it does create a demand for us providing services given our daytime population exceeds 30,000. 80% of the state's sales tax collected in Waite Park comes from outside the Waite Park community, and as a result, seems to be the most equitable way for the city of Waite Park to seek funding for these proposed regional capital projects. With that, I'll let my city administrator tell you about these projects.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Mayor Miller. Ms. Johnson, please state your name for the record and proceed.
Yes, good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Shauna Johnson, and I am the city administrator for the city of Waite Park. The city of Waite Park has identified three capital projects that we would like to include on a ballot in 2022. These are all capital projects that have been in our long-range planning. The first one includes up to $10 million to be collected over 7 years for our 10th Avenue Regional Corridor. And the 10th Avenue Regional Corridor is 1.28 miles, but it really connects, it's a north-south connection that connects the cities of Sartell and St. Cloud into the retail space. The places that it does connect to are our two hotels and conference center, Home Depot, Mills Fleet Farm, our amphitheater. And so it has a significant impact as far as regionalness. It has been in our area planning organization's plan for over the last 15 years. And the total project cost is over $21 million. And a lot of that is related to a lot of the right-of-way acquisition that needs to happen. Anyone that's been in the Waite Park area, if you've been on that road, you'll know the congestion that that it creates when people are trying to leave. Going out of the community about 5 o'clock, that road can back up into those. It also crosses, I might mention, County Road 75, Highway and Highway 23 as well. The next project that we have is our regional trail connections. We are seeking $7.5 million over 5 years, and this plan has been in part of our capital project list for over the last 10 years. And the real interesting thing about this and exciting thing is that this is actually going to allow us to connect trails that start in Wilmer, which is the Glacial Lakes Trail, and it goes through up to the Ricori Trail. It'll allow us to connect that with the Lake Wobegon Trail. And so essentially, with all of those trail connections, we're going to be able to have trails all the way from Wilmer all the way up to Duluth. And so the city of Waite Park would like to make that connection to work towards that. And then lastly, our last project is a public safety facility. We are seeking up to $20 million to be collected over 13 years. Public safety in our community certainly has a lot of regional significance. We, again, as the mayor mentioned, are a community of just under 8,000. And we are this year looking at having 21 police officers. That's not typical for a community our size. Our neighbors, that is more typical of a Sartell or maybe even a Sauk Rapids whose population is double ours. But with us of a population of that just under 8,000, we do have that 30,000 population daily, and it does create a lot of significant demands on our public safety. Ironically for us, we have about 10,000 calls a year, and those 10,000 calls a year do include a lot of level one and level two, the more serious crimes. And our numbers are consistently higher than our neighboring cities of Sartell and Sauk Rapids and St. Joseph as well. And interestingly, 80% of our sales tax, as the mayor mentioned, comes from outside of our area. That is also about the same percentage. 80% of the people that are arrested in Waite Park are from outside of our community. So regional public safety is really a regional significant issue for us. And as a result of the need to add additional staff and resources to public safety, we are out of space. And so we are looking at constructing a new facility, and that's what the proposal is for that. I'd be happy to answer any questions for myself or the mayor, but we wanna be very respectful of your time, Madam Chair and members of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. I understand that Chief Benchard's here too in case we have questions for him, but thank you, members. Any questions? I am not seeing any. So, Representative Teist, final words.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to tell everybody that I'm so extremely proud the more I get to know Waite Park and how it runs. They are doing an excellent job with what they have. I look at Chief Benchrood, and he is the chief of the Minnesota Chiefs right now. We're very fortunate to have somebody like that in our community, but I don't need to have that title or job for him to know what wonderful work he does in working with him and in human trafficking and some of the things they have brought forward and the great work that they have done. It is essential for our community, and who would have thought, I never would have thought, that I would have been working with human trafficking. It is very important. But also, I look at the trails, and I have a kiddo that at 30, he's 36 today, he's my baby. They kayak the Sauk River, they bike around that same area. Those trails are really important to those folks. And also for the kids. I mean, there's a lot of kids that could use it too. So I look at keeping our families doing something outdoors together and not having them sit inside. And then I look at the road and, oh yeah, well, I'm on the roads quite a bit, but it is a very, very friendly, wonderful community. Obviously a lot of people go there. So I just really appreciate the time. I appreciate you listening to the information, and I can't wait. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Tice. Yes, I'm a sucker for trails as well. And the great outdoors is very important, especially now during, as we have been experiencing COVID. So with that, Representative Hertaz renews his motion that House File 1300 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. This bill's laid over. Next up, we have Representative Kreisha. Welcome to the Property Tax Committee. We have House File 1239 on the agenda. Before I ask for a motion on that, I forgot a while back to say thank you. Representative Torkelson is here, so sorry about that. Get that on the record. Can I get a motion for House File 1239 to be before the division?
Madam Chair, I'll move House File 1239 be laid over for possible inclusion into a division report.
Representative Hertaz moves that House File 1239 be laid over for possible inclusion in a division report. With that, Representative Kreisha, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I will just turn this over to my testifiers. I have three of them who can speak to this bill more eloquently than I.
Wonderful. Mr. Rademacher, do you want to state your name for the record and proceed?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is John Rademacher. I'm the city administrator of Little Falls.
Before you, we have our local option sales tax request for a half-cent sales tax to collect $17 million over 30 years to build a community recreational facility in the city of Little Falls. I apologize for the lateness, but we did receive a resolution of support from our neighboring community, Pierce, Minnesota, which is about 12 miles to our east, in favor of pursuit of our project. This idea and process came about over years of input from our community. We've had numerous public informational meetings on the needs and opportunities for a community recreational facility like this one. It has come out in some community engagement process that we've had through a federal Our Town grant, as well as many different stakeholder focus groups that have engaged on discussions of what the total needs of this facility are going to be. And with that, we're going to keep it brief, and I'm going to turn it over to my mayor, who can speak more to the impacts of this for our community.
Thank you, Mr. Rademacher. Mayor Zilka, state your name for the record, please, and proceed.
My name is Greg Zilka, Mayor of Little Falls. Thank you, Madam Chair and the committee, for this opportunity and for your time today. I'm a lifelong resident of Little Falls. I spent 42 years in retail business in Little Falls, also was a small business owner. I've been mayor, this is my seventh year, 2 years on the city council, and almost 10 years on Little Falls School Board. So I've heard from almost everybody in our community at one point. As John said, we have support from the communities around us. We have a mayor's meeting monthly, and all the mayors there voice strong support about the usage and regionality of this project. And I have been hearing cries for these amenities that we are addressing and for many years. And I agree there's more things that we could use in this community for not only children, but also for their parents. And to be brief with that, I would like to pass it over to Doug Dahlberg for a couple brief comments as a resident and a parent.
Thank you, Mayor. Mr. Dahlberg, state your name for the record and proceed.
My name is Doug Dahlberg. Thank you, Madam Chair and the committee, for this opportunity. As Mayor Zilka and John spoke about, this is a sorely needed project in our town. I am a parent of four, with my oldest being 18 and my youngest being 12, who are heavily involved in sports. And I can honestly say that we have never had a home basketball tournament for any one of my kids in the years that I've been here. So I know a community center is not only for sports, but certainly our senior population would be able to benefit from that, as well as communities, clubs, different organizations. So again, I will keep it brief as well too, but I can't stress enough what Mayor Zilka and John had talked about, is that this is clearly a very important project for our city, and I think would impact the communities around us as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Dahlberg. Members, any questions for Representative Crisho or any of his testifiers? Seeing none, with that, Representative Crisho, final word.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee members. Of course, Representative Hertas, if you wanted to make an amendment, I'd take it as a friendly one if you took the word possible out, but I will take the motion as you have it, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Representative Crisho. With that, Representative Hertas renews his motion that House File 1239 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. That bill's laid over, and members, we're to our final local option sales tax bill with House File 1321 from Representative Erickson. Can I get a motion for House File 1321 to be before the division?
Of course, Chair, I'll also add a move that House File 1321 be laid over for possible inclusion.
Thank you, Representative Hertas. Representative Hertas moves House File 1321 before the division. And with that, welcome to the Property Tax Committee, Representative Erickson, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee, for hearing House File 1321. This bill authorized the County of Mille Lacs to impose a sales and use tax of 1/2 of 1% if approved by the voters at a general election. The proceeds would be used to finance costs for the construction of a public works building. The bill authorizes a bond issuance of up to $10 million plus bond costs. The tax would terminate at the earlier of 8 years after it is first imposed or when the county board determines that sufficient funds have been received to pay for the costs of the bonds and the projects. The tax may expire earlier if the county so determines by ordinance. The bill has no impact on state taxes. Here to testify are the acting county administrator and the county engineer, and I'm so grateful that they're here to testify to this. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. With that, Mr. Knopik, could you please state your name for the record and proceed? And I'm sorry if I pronounced that wrong.
No worries, it's a very hard name. My name is Neil Knopik. I'm the county engineer for Mille Lacs County. Madam Chair, I appreciate your time and the rest of the committee for looking into this matter. A little background about the project. Basically, Mille Lacs County, we have a public works building that is 48 years old right now. It's a steel structured building that has a normal life cycle of about 30 years. The heating and air conditioning system in the building was actually 20 years old when we built the building. So that's getting close to 70 years old right now. And as you can imagine, we're having issues with, you know, when we plow roads and we bring their trucks back, it takes pretty much a day or two to actually thaw them out. So if we have two snow emergencies in a row, we can't keep up with that. We got a great crew working for us right now. It'd be nice to have a nicer place to store them all in. We actually don't have any office staff in that building anymore just because it's getting so old. There were some pictures provided. Those were actually taken 7 years ago. So you can imagine a building that expired many years ago, even more expired now. The regional significance of that building is that Mille Lacs County shares plowing agreements and maintenance agreements with four adjacent counties. So we kind of have a relationship with them so we can help them out if they run into a situation where they need the extra help. As you know, the Sioux Line runs through Mille Lacs County, connecting Morrison and Aiken County. So regionally, we are helping people use the trail and connect with other areas. We also plow all the roads to either Father Hennepin or Fifth Capio State Parks. So we're trying to help people, you know, enjoy the state parks in our area. And obviously Mille Lacs Lake is a big draw for a lot of tourists in the area. So we do have agreements with MnDOT too. We have a repeater here for our GPS for this part of the state. So we're helping them out as well. But like I said, we could use a newer building here in our county. Our tax base is only 26,000 people. So we're trying not to burden them with the cost of a building. So as far as the financial aspect, I think I'll pass that on to our administrator, Holly Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Knopik. Ms. Wilson, please state your name for the record and proceed. Ms. Wilson, oh, there you go.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. I'm Holly Wilson. I'm the acting county administrator from Mille Lacs County. I'm relatively new in this position, about a month in. So this is my first time testifying, so I apologize if I fumble through this. I appreciate the time you've taken to hear our side here. Like Representative Erickson and County Engineer Knopik said, we're requesting a 0.5% sales tax to fund our new public works facility, which is of regional significance that the county engineer elaborated on. I don't really have anything else to add. I'd be happy to take any questions. And again, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilson. Members, do I have any questions for Representative Erickson or either of her testifiers? Seeing none, Representative Erickson, final word.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, committee, for hearing House File 1321. I appreciate the fact that you would consider this for the property tax report that I know will go to taxes. As I have served on both these committees, I know this process, and so I know it's very important that you have to study all these issues Mille Lacs County certainly has brought forth a good proposal with a timely payment on their the end of their collection of this one half of 1%. They're a very responsible board of commissioners, and I appreciate Ms. Wilson sitting in now for the county administrator who resigned some time ago. She has a huge job in front of her, and I think the county engineer has explained very well the need for a building if, in fact, the voters approve this in the next general election. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Erickson. With that, Representative Hurtaz renews his motion that House File 1321 be laid over for possible inclusion in the division report. Thank you, members. Thank you, testifiers. I think we did some good work over the last few days on local option sales tax and got a little flavor of what's going on all around our state. Next week, we are going to be back at our normal committee time slot on Wednesday. And until then, please get out and enjoy the weather this weekend. We are adjourned.